5:30 roll call, or we don't have roll call. Okay, is there a motion to approve the agenda?
So moved.
There are seconds?
I second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Okay, it passes. Next item is meeting agenda. I'm in a meeting.
I move the minutes be approved.
I second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Passes. Okay, moving on to old business, existing policy revisions, starting with policy number one, purpose and board policies and adoption. Okay, Conrado or Chris, who is the one that's taking charge of these?
Who do you want, Conrado?
However you feel, Chris, I can do it if you want to.
I'm fine if you want to jump in.
Yeah.
I mean, just kind of a general overview. Most of these policies are just updates. Our plan is to try to stay on a 2-year cycle on updating. We're a little longer than that with these, but a majority of them are just some formatting updates as well as some minor language updates as well that you'll see. So we can go through each one of them briefly. So the process 01, we've just changed the committee that's reviewing the policies to this committee, the board and staff communications and policies, replacing the finance and administration committee.
Do we need to vote on these individually, or can we do them all together with amendments?
I think we could do them collectively if you would like.
Great.
That'd be a good idea, yeah. Mm-hmm. So there's no other changes besides just changing the name on this one document.
Yeah, and the only thing we're doing, changing format wise, we used to have some of the approval dates up at the very top, and then we've seen where some documents have the authority and then the document history at the bottom of the policy. So we're changing that as well as we're going forward. So you'll see that on each of the policies, the bottom. So Andrea, if you move to page 8, you'll see that. There you go.
Oh, okay. Format revisions only. So when you have this new format, then you have on here when it was revised before so that you could actually some continuity or no?
Yes. So Andrea, if you go to page 8, please. So you see it was created 1/26/16. So then we'll follow the history dates as we move forward.
Okay, thank you.
This one.
Okay,
there we go.
Mm-hmm. Next one is BOD 1, the swearing in of board members. This one's just format revisions only, no language change.
Oh, that's what we just went over. I'm sorry, I got confused. Okay, so BOD 1, here we are.
So, yeah, so now.
And then,
page 12, BOD 2. All of these have format changes. This one has some language change on page 12. Just adding some language to kind of clear it up, clarify it a little bit. It's page 12, and then on page 13, under 2.2, we added 2.2.1. Just added language there to just kind of helps clarify what is the motion is that's brought up in board meetings so that the entire board understands what the motion is.
Mm-hmm. I have a question about that. I mean, certainly if the president can explain it, that's great, but shouldn't, I would think that either the attorney or the CEO would really be the ones to sort of say, well, if this motion passes, what does it mean to the district? I it seems like it's more of a technical thing than I think the president might be able to do. Why was that? First of all, why was that added? Where did it come from? And what's it trying to fix that was broken?
Well, I think the intent is when there's sometimes or there's clarity needed to restate the motion or to state a motion for voting.
So maybe it would say instead of shall explain, shall confirm, because I think it really is an attorney or CEO, but we're really just focusing on the board member's role here. So if it's confirming with the effect, and I'm sure that whoever is in that position, if he or she doesn't understand it, would probably be asking for clarification from the appropriate person, whether it's the attorney or the CEO. Would that address it? I agree, Les. I don't think that the president shall explain.
It seems to me that the role of the president is to make sure that each board member understands what they're voting on, not to necessarily be the one that explains it, but to make sure before the vote happens that if anybody has any questions, they can ask the CEO or the attorney, what exactly is the effect of this motion? I think the word explain is what I'm having trouble with.
About restate what the effect of the motion would be, or?
In other words, shouldn't the president say, does everybody understand what we're voting on? To me, that's the role of the president, asking, does everybody understand what we're voting on? And if somebody says no, then somebody needs to explain it. It's probably not the president that explains it if it's a technical thing. I'm just, you know.
Well, it just seems like whoever the person is, it just seems like we've done several times where there's been reiterations of a motion that's been made and, you know, it's changed a little bit along the way. So whoever we deem is responsible for making that final clarification of the motion.
So after all the discussion and after there's different people that are providing their input, the president shall, I agree that word is not explained, but restating
clarify the motion.
Summarize the effect of the motion so that there is good understanding from everybody. And whether it's he or she is directing the clerk to restate the motion or the CEO or the attorney. But I think at that time, when all is said and done, then we usually ask the clerk to restate the motion.
I agree. It seems like, yes, there have been times when there's been confusion about what we've been voting for. I don't necessarily think that's the president's responsibility, other than to make sure that the clerk understands, you know, what we're voting on, and that the board members understand what we're voting on, not necessarily to clarify it.
And then, like, similar to the last meeting, there was some clarity that was needed. And it was asked of me, but I in turn went to the president, Toronto, just to, you know, verify what the actual motion was with the clarity. So
about shall ensure that the effect of the motion is clear to every member of the board.
Yeah, I like that.
Say that again. Eric, are you capturing that?
Shall ensure that the effect of the motion is clear to every member of the board.
And I would think, for example, if the CEO believes that what the board is voting on isn't what they think they're voting on because of technical, you know, how it's going to be enforced or applied or whatever, that, it, you know, checking in with the CEO is a good idea, too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So whatever steps are needed, whether it's just restating the motion or asking, are we all clear on this? By ensuring that he or she is going to either ask for clarification of staff or ask the board to make sure that everybody's clear. But that works.
So do we need the language added?
Yeah, I think so.
Who added it? Why was it added? I mean, who added it? Any idea? I mean,
well, it was a combination discussion with Eric and I that, you know, we just felt that should there be some clarification and does it need to be spelled out in the policy? If it doesn't, then.
I mean, I think it's good practice, and the president and the CEO and the clerk ought to make sure this happens all the time. I don't think it needs to be stated as a policy personally, but.
I think it shows what the leadership role of the president, that he or she has that responsibility to make sure that there is not only a protocol that's being followed and adhering to all the rules, but it's ensure, you know, right before the vote is taken, I think he or she should make sure that there's good understanding of it. And if not that person, who's going to speak up and say, does anybody have a question about this? And that's usually the way I think that person should say, is there any more questions? Does everybody understand? And then if there seems to be some confusion, then calling on someone like the clerk to reread the motion. But I think that is the role of the president to make sure that there is good understanding by everybody.
I agree, but do you think it needs to be in the policy? Do you think this is in the policy of City Council and Board of Supervisors that the chair is the one who explains the effect of the motion and asks each board member, do they understand? Does that need to be stated? I agree with you, that's the role of the president, but I don't know that, to me, it's the role of the chair of a meeting who's, before a vote of a motion is taken, to make sure everybody understands what's being voted on. But I don't think it necessarily needs to be in a policy. Again, I'm trying to go back to who put this in here. What was the feeling that it needed to go in? Did council believe it was a deficiency that needed to be put in, or?
Like I just said, it was staff recommendation. All of the policies have been reviewed by legal counsel as well as CEO. But ultimately, it's up to the board members as to if you feel it should be included or not. We were just looking to add something that, you know, would help provide clarity to a motion.
Yeah, I would suggest that we delete it.
I wouldn't have thought of putting it in, but since it's already in there, I don't think it hurts.
Is it because it's already in there, you'd want it?
Because I wouldn't have thought of putting it in there, but since it's already in there now with the proposed change, I think it doesn't hurt, and it helps clarify if a board member complains that he or she didn't understand the motion that was taken 2 months ago, then there's an expectation that the board chair, president, that they need to make sure to handle the meeting everybody's understanding what action is being taken. Most of them are straightforward, but sometimes they can be a little convoluted.
Can I ask a rhetorical question?
Sure.
Does that mean if a board member votes on something and realizes that they didn't know what they were voting on, that it's the president's fault because it wasn't explained? I don't think so.
What's the consensus of the three board members, whether to leave it, exclude it?
There has to be a certain awareness by the chair. Awareness of, is this such a convoluted topic that somehow people are not even sure what they're voting on?
I totally agree with that. But I don't know that it needs to be in the policy. But Yvette, what do you think?
I'm not sure. I see it both ways, where I think it should be in there, so an expectation is clearly present, but I also see where it could not be in there. I mean, it wouldn't hurt any for it not to be in there or to be in there. I'm with both of you guys, I don't know.
Well, you could reword it and then have it go to the vote of the board, have a discussion and vote at the board.
I don't think it's that big of a deal for me. I'm okay if we leave it out, mm-hmm. but because staff brought it up and thought that it was something that it actually was at some point necessary, so that's why I didn't think it would hurt. But it doesn't hurt me not to have it in there. So
should we just keep it out then?
Or? Yeah, let's go ahead and take it out.
Yeah, let's remove it.
So, by the way, I just want to clarify. I think that staff brought up a very good point. Sometimes the directors don't know what they're voting on, and I think that is an issue. But I don't think that putting this policy in is going to correct that issue. But I do think the board, in the offsite we do on the board, whatever the, I can't remember what it's called now, when we have the meetings talking about how the board interacts with itself, maybe that's something we could talk about, that we need to be sure, we need to check in with each other and with Andrea. You know, Andrea has a big job and she's doing 10 things at once, and she can't be the only one that makes sure that she got down on paper what we thought we were saying. So I think that's what this is all about.
Okay, so we're going to put Andrea's name on there. And Andrea will explain what the effect was. I'm okay with leaving it out.
All right.
Okay, so we're removing 2.2.1. Mm-hmm. So the only other change there is, there's two changes. So go back up one page, there's a do that's, then I don't know, do we want to go through each of the actual changes?
If they're significant.
Yeah, let's bypass that small word, 2.8. We're just referencing 2.7.
That's fine. Mm-hmm. That's fine. So basically, the only thing we're changing is that 2.2.1, take it out. Everything else is fine.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yes. Okay. Moving on. Miss Sneeze. Excuse me.
Bless you.
Thank you.
Go get tested.
Yeah. Make sure nobody was around. BOD4, just formatting changes. BOD5. This is just language to clarify basis of authority. Mm-hmm. So it's just talking about the directors being elected from their particular geographic area or zone, however they still represent and act for the community as a whole.
On this one, it's not in there, but I just want to throw an idea out at you. When there's an issue that is specific to a zone, like for example, the air quality issue in the East Valley, I raised my hand and I said, I want to be the representative from the district on that. And then, if I hadn't, then I would have left whoever step forward and do that. But should we say something about that if a particular board member, if there's an issue in a particular zone, then the representative from that zone should be given consideration for any issues that arise in that area? Or an FYI or something, or would that complicate things? For example, there was something going on in Cathedral City, and you know that there's something, I think I mentioned this to Conrado a while ago, that there was a meeting going on with Parks, and I asked him, could you let me know in the future when there are these kind of meetings? I may not be able to make it, but if somebody asks me later on about, well, why weren't you there? I could say, well, instead of I didn't know about it, I could be, or when they say staff was there and another district board member was there, and I could say, well, I'm sorry, but I had a scheduling conflict, rather than, oh, I didn't know, and so I wasn't invited. So that's what I'm addressing. So if there's an issue like in Cathedral City, that's coming up, a special meeting that that if that representative for Cathedral City could be notified and given the opportunity to participate.
Well, I mean, the example of Cathedral City is there are now going to be three directors that represent different parts of Cathedral.
Well, then all three of them should get an FYI.
Well,
yeah,
I agree with that. I agree with that, and I also agree that there may be other events that happen outside of someone's zone that we should all get an FYI.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I think you can solve. I agree with what you're saying, but I think you can solve it by basically asking staff to let each of the directors know when there are community events that we might be interested in attending.
Which we do now. That has not changed. But I think to your point, for instance, if there's an event, let's say that's happening in Director Perez Gill's zone and she's not able to attend, you know, then maybe another board member in that zone can. But if you're available as the president of the board, you know, then obviously you would represent the district as a whole.
So I don't know if I want to ask that we include that here or not, if it's a separate issue. What do you think?
I think it's a separate issue because this is the basis of authority.
Okay.
You're talking about communication and public affairs and things like that. So I think that we ought to talk about how that can best be handled, but I don't know that it belongs in the policy.
Yeah. It just popped in my head because of number two, but if we can address it some other way, I addressed it by just letting the CEO know that, hey, in the future, can you kind of, I would like to know, but.
And by the way, I do think that that's a special role for the president. I think that the CEO might say to the president, there's this event, and do you as the president want to go, or do you want to delegate it to one or more of the directors because of where it is? And then is it an event that's important enough that we really ought to invite all the directors? Now, I think that's the kind of discussion that between the CEO and the president can be very decisive.
Okay. I'm okay with that.
Mm-hmm.
Conrad, are you okay with that?
Oh, perfect.
Okay.
That's great. Thanks.
Okay, so moving on to BOD 11. Legal counsel completely revised this policy because it has to do with the voting and the outcomes of actions and decisions and that. So more particularly focuses on if there's only a portion of the board present and how that works.
Okay.
Can you, I guess because I only saw the red stuff, I didn't read the whole thing very carefully. Quorum.
How about 1.5 where it says approval or disapproval of matters that require or more or may require the district or its employees, and then the addition of under the direction of the CEO. What can you give me an example of how of what that would be addressing for employees?
I think it's just indicating that if there's direction for the employees, that it would be under the direction of the CEO.
Okay, but this isn't related to legal counsel. No, it's just. Okay, I understand. Legal counsel completely revised. Okay, I get it.
Yeah.
Sorry.
So basically, this is saying that the board, the directors may be involved in approving or disapproving matters that the staff may take. I mean, is that what that's saying in kind of legalese language?
Well, I believe it's saying the board will approve an action and then the staff will implement the action.
Okay.
Okay.
All right. And the quorum thing is nothing new, right? Actions taken where six members require a vote of the majority of present.
Les, where are you? What section are you on?
Two.
Section two. Actions taken where six or seven
So if there are five members there, is it saying that you only need three votes? You don't, if only five people are present, you don't need four votes because that would be a majority of the seven members, right?
Right. So this is just trying to provide clarity if there's a portion of the board present.
Okay, but for example, if there are six people there, you need four votes.
Correct.
Correct.
Okay. Ooh, this is different. According to California law, a member abstaining from a vote is considered as an affirmative vote for the action or a vote in favor of majority of the quorum.
Yeah, that is significant because abstaining doesn't necessarily mean that you're just, stepping aside. It does count as affirmation.
Counts as a yes.
Mm-hmm. Counts as a yes, yes.
Interesting. How about when somebody recuses him or herself from a meeting? Is there any difference from just that fact that person is absent?
Yeah, I think that's different than abstaining. Recusing, okay. you're not present.
So is it considered an absent?
It would be a no vote, yeah. Okay.
Is this a change in California law? It certainly doesn't follow Robert's Rules of Order, but
this is specific from Jeff. He wanted to revise this one. I had asked for a red line, but he said his computer was having problems and didn't show the red line changes. So it's
well, I'm going to ask clarification at the meeting because. To me, an abstain vote means that you have to have a quorum to have a vote, but an abstain vote means you're voting neither yes nor no, and therefore you do need more yes votes than no votes. But this doesn't make sense. So I'll have to ask him what the law is.
Well, he's put the law in, but I can see if he's available to jump on a call right quick if you'd like.
Well, I mean, is it new?
Why don't we ask him?
Yeah, that way we don't have to take time during the board meeting.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. Okay, you want to get him?
Because in other words, Les, if you abstain and it counts as a yes vote, then you might as well say no. Basically.
Yeah.
You're contacting him, Chris?
Yeah, I just sent him a quick test.
Okay, good.
Well, this is important to know because, you know, I'd never abstain from a vote if I knew it was going to count as a yes. I would not. What's the purpose of abstaining? I don't get it. Mm-hmm. Unless this is just about efficiency of business.
Andrea, if I give him the Zoom link, he can jump in, right?
Yeah, he can get in. Yeah. Because then too, I'm just thinking about the minutes for two items in May. There was one abstention, and then there was one no. But with the abstention, then it's actually a no vote, and I guess we don't even need that on the minutes.
Yeah. Right. That is
Well, no, if there are two abstentions and a no vote, it counts as a yes.
No, I meant to say that one more time, Les.
You said there were two abstentions and a no vote?
No, I said on one vote, there was one abstention. These are two separate matters. And then on another item, there was a no vote. But I'm just saying for the abstention, then the person probably thought that they were abstaining and not actually having a no or a yes vote.
Yeah, I think I did one of those abstentions, and I thought it was counting as a no vote, and now I find out that it was a no.
I did too. So that means you can't abstain from any rap votes. You just don't vote.
I have to recuse myself. I have to leave the room.
I don't know.
So abstention means nothing. It means yes.
Abstention means it goes in whatever the majority is.
That's exactly abstain, right there, yeah. The majority.
So yes, if you abstain right. And it's majority yes, then mm-hmm. It's a yes.
Mm-hmm. Yes, that's correct.
So like, for instance, I'm reading something that says abstentions never affect the vote result. Wrong. Abstentions mm-hmm. affect the vote result of your governing documents. Define majority differently as the number of individuals present or the number of total members. Under either of these definitions, using the example, with, you know, as presented, you would need 7 votes to win. In this case, even though an abstention is still not counted as a cast vote, it effectively acts as a no vote because the basis for a majority is a fixed number. Hmm. And then it says, all those who know a little more, say aye.
I don't know.
There's Jeff. All right.
Hey, how Jeff. You doing?
Hi.
Hello, Jeff.
Hi, Jeff.
How's it going?
Good. We were trying to interpret the law without you in the room, so.
Well, that's it's confusing. I understand that. That doesn't surprise me.
So, Jeff, can I just ask you the question? We're on page 19.
Yeah.
We're talking about quorums and abstentions.
Yeah.
So normally, in Robert's Rules of Order, you still need a majority of yeses over noes to pass a motion. But you're saying that the abstention vote counts as a yes?
Yeah. Basically, I researched this a couple of times and then did this when when I authored this. Basically, what the law says, Les, and this is both the Attorney General and the case law. It's come up before, and you'll have members that there'll be a quorum of voters, and you know, you may have, let's say you've got 4 out of 7, and you have 2 members who vote in favor, affirmative on a motion, and then 2 members vote abstain. And what it says in the law is that if you're against something, you have to go on the record. You can't let, if something comes up, and even though it's not a majority of those present, as long as it's a favorable ruling, an abstention in essence, basically, you've got to vote either if you're against it, you can't just say, you can't abstain. That's looked as an affirmative vote for purposes of the law.
Hmm.
Yeah, I mean, I'm happy to share all of the authorities with you, but it's the law, and most people don't realize that. And before, for whatever reasons, I think because it was they were looking at differing enabling statutes, and in our case, for under healthcare districts, if you've got a majority, 4 can transact business. And then you look at, well, what do you need? You know, could 3 members out of 4 who vote when you've got a quorum present carry something? Yes. And so if you've got 2 members, basically what it boils down to, if 2 members vote yes and 2 members abstain, it carries under the law. And so now if they're not in favor of it, the law says they've got to go on the record and say, I'm against it. And
it's in
Robert's rules of order. They're not the governing law in California.
Okay, so we as directors then should never abstain. Is that what you're saying?
Well, I mean, you can abstain, but understand when you abstain that it's going to be counted as an affirmative vote in essence, with a majority of whatever the ruling is. It doesn't have to be a majority of the quorum. It can be a majority. It can be 2 out of 4. You got 4 can transact business, and so an abstention is not, you basically got to take a position on it. So if you just understand that that's the same thing as voting yes.
Well, then do we need to even record the abstention then on the minutes, Jeff?
Yeah, of course.
Yeah, you do.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because in my case, when I abstain, it's because it's not a real conflict, but possibly a perceived. So even though
you're not in the room. okay? And that gets into whether we have a quorum or not.
But that's a recusal, but I have abstained. In the most recent meeting, I abstained, but now what I will do is I will abstain just to make sure that I go on the record as recognizing.
No. What the law requires you to do is, if you remember, when you have a potential conflict, okay, and that this is where you have a potential conflict, and you've been advised that you've got a potential conflict, you can't participate in any. Okay. You got to get up from the diocese and leave the room and be out of the room and not participate in what's going on.
That's when it was wrap, and I do leave the room. That right. When there's a financial issue, but in this last case, it was a lift to rise issue. I am not receiving right. any financial, so that one I abstain.
Okay, but that's going to be, your vote's going to be counted.
Okay.
And that's okay, as long as it's not, you know, as long as it's not illegal financial, you know. Mm-hmm. If I advise you that you, while it, you know, it's up to you, but if from a legal perspective, it's not a conflict, you can then abstain if you want, you know. But understand.
I know, but can I? I mean, I'm going to push this because it happened to me too when a vote came up for volunteers in medicine, and I don't get anything personal out of it.
Right.
And I voted for it, and several people complained that I should not have voted for it because I'm a board member.
Okay.
And now, are you saying that, well, I could abstain so that it wouldn't look like I'm voting for it, even though it would count as
That's a PR measure? Yeah, yeah.
Like, it sounds kind of silly to me.
Well, I mean, it is. It isn't really. I mean, if you think about it, you got to take a position with respect to the vote. Except that if you want to abstain, it's okay. It's just you're going to be counted towards the affirmative. You know, the affirmative side, okay, for purposes of, from a legal standpoint, if it comes down to, we have, you know, the only situation I could see where it would be an issue is if you had, you're present at the meeting and you've got four members of the you've got a quorum, so it can transact business, and then two members vote yes, one member votes no, and one member abstains. Or in the case you've got two members vote yes and two members abstain, it carries.
Okay. I think I get it. It's a technical thing. We'll have to live with it. But we also need to educate all the directors that when you abstain, it gets counted as a yes vote.
It's going to be counted
it's
as
the affirmative.
The majority, you know.
Majority, yeah.
So if you voted in that scenario, you could have a situation where two members voted no, okay, and two members abstained. Well, it would be counted towards the majority, okay, even though it wasn't, in most cases, it's going to be an affirmative vote, but there are circumstances conceivably where if you abstain, then it's going to be counted as a no. So in that case, if you want, you know, you need to have the two members basically go on the record that they are against whatever the proposition is. Okay, so then you'd have a 2-2 vote.
Which a 2-2 vote is a no vote.
Is a no vote. That's correct. Okay, and I know I understand. You know, I anticipated this would be a difficult concept, but basically, it's what the law requires in this situation for a healthcare district, okay? Because there are special districts that require, most special districts require a majority of the members of the board to carry motions, resolutions, or, you know, whatever actions, okay? We're not subject to that. We're unique to that. That's a situation of where, in the Enabling Act, it has two parts. It says it takes a majority to form a quorum to transact business, and then there's another section in the Enabling Act that says that actions and motions and such and resolutions require a majority in order to pass, require a more majority of the members of the board of directors. So that would mean that in that setting, if there were four members there, it would require all four members present in order for the action to pass. You follow me? But that's not us. That's a difference between a water district and probably city councils and healthcare districts. But that's another statute. You know, there's a whole history behind that action. It's called the 10 Little Indians case. So, and again, that has both case law and attorney general opinions.
Okay, I'm gonna
say
we can move on because I have to get to
pump. Yeah, yeah, okay. I'm sorry.
Thank you, Jeff.
All right, I'm
Thank
sorry.
You, Jeff.
All right, bye-bye.
Okay. So can we move on to the financial operations, Chris, the next one?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yes. So any changes here?
So that was the only change.
Essentially just some language change there.
Yeah, got it.
Pretty minor. Any questions on FIN1, FIN02? Just some cleanup of language and formatting.
Pretty clear.
FIN04, same thing.
Yep.
FIN05 is pretty much the same thing, changing names. Titles. FIN03 is the statement of investment policy.
So this one is new?
No, sorry. What happened to this
628.
This shouldn't say draft on it, apologies, but no, I'm sorry, should say draft. There's no change to it other than we're just updating for a new resolution number. And then there's the, because this just gets renewed every year.
Got it.
And then following is the staff report as well as the new resolution for the new fiscal year.
Okay.
So page 31 is the new resolution.
I see, Chris. So just for my clarity too, so we change every time in the new year when we have new resolutions, the policy is updated with that resolution?
Policy doesn't necessarily need to be, no, but I mean, we could.
But that's what I'm asking, because that's what happened in this particular case.
It's referenced here, but I don't know that I don't think that it necessarily needs to be updated every year for that resolution number. Because it holds true year after year. I think if the resolution changes or the policy changes language-wise, then we probably should have a corresponding resolution to it.
Okay, I'd like to make a motion that we approve all of the policies that are through page 33. I'm sorry, through 32, and then consider the employee handbook separately because it's kind of its own document.
Okay, I will second it for discussion. I do want to look at FIN03 and the annually approve a statement of investment policy. I guess it's important enough to approve it. I was just wondering whether a review of it was sufficient, but approval of it, okay, I'm okay with it. And annually, so that will be like in January or in middle of the year or what, or just whenever?
No, it's actually being approved now for the next fiscal year. So July 1st is the fiscal year start.
About the fiscal year. Okay. So, okay. So it's just an anniversary of today or of June.
Right.
Yeah.
So we typically approve it in June so that it's in place for the beginning of the fiscal year.
Okay. Very good. I I call for the question. Well, actually, I'm the chair, huh? Okay, so all those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Okay, aye. Okay, and when we get to this in the board meeting, can we just talk about that that one issue that we spent so much time just to make sure that everybody understands what abstention means? Okay.
I think it would be a good idea.
Yeah.
It might not hurt just to ask Jeff then to explain it at that time. So.
Yeah, okay.
Okay, so you're not going to have it be part of the consent agenda, I take it. Is that correct?
Well, if we do it, we could just pull it from the consent agenda, but... I'm sorry, what were you suggesting, Andrea?
I'm sorry, I was just saying he's correct. They are part of the consent agenda, but we can certainly remove BOD 11 and replace it.
Okay.
In.
Yeah, if we can do that, then we just leave that one out for just discussion.
Do you want to remove it, or you want to just have it be pulled for just discussion at consent agenda time? It's up to you.
Yeah, let's do that. Let me, I will pull it for discussion. Just remind me. I'll put it on my notes.
Yeah, and that way it can be voted with all the policies. Yeah.
Okay. And then they'll post it.
So moving on to the employee handbook, is this a brand new document created de novo, or is this an update?
Robert, do you want to lead on this one, or you want me? Go ahead.
Yes, sure. Yes, it is de novo. The employee handbook that we have in the district currently is from 2014.
13.
Yeah. So there are many labor laws and regulations that have been added in the state of California. And we wanted to make sure that we are in compliance with those new labor laws and regulations. So we adopted a model employee handbook that was provided by one of the law firms. And we, of course, adapted that to reflect the business needs of the district. And this was fully reviewed by our legal counsel to ensure that what we say in that employee handbook is kosher. So we didn't make any significant, let me say this. There are no changes to the substance of the district's benefits. The only thing that were revised were labor law regulations. The only change that we included in terms of benefits was related to the accrual of vacation time. We had a policy that allows for a maximum vacation accrual of 4 weeks, and we have employees that have reached that threshold. And given the circumstances we're in, there is nobody taking vacation. So the change that we proposed was adding language to allow for 1.5 time vacation accrual. So in the former or the current language that we have, a staff can only accrue one time their vacation time. With this, they will be able to accrue 1.5 time their vacation.
Good. It's very well written. I just wanted to know if it was just very well written. So that's all. That's very good.
I think you should review do an employee handbook every year. And the reason I say that is because there's rules, state laws and federal laws every year, whether it's something very minor. Mm-hmm. But every year there's changes. So I think you should do it once a year. Every year, I'm sorry.
I agree.
So I move that we approve the employee handbook as written and recommend to the board that it be approved.
Is there a second?
A second.
Okay, can we make amendment that we will recommend that it be reviewed annually? Can we include that in the motion?
Yeah.
Okay,
very good. Okay, so that passes. I vote, all those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Are we done?
Well, there's no new business, but I don't know if there's any future topics or issues. I was on the agenda.
Okay, board members, do you have any future topics that you would like for us to consider at a...
Not at this time for me.
I want to ask, I don't feel, at one point I felt strongly about this, now I'm slightly strongly about it, but we never did address something that I thought we talked about addressing, and that was having the officers kind of have a rotation, or at least the suggested rotation that people could opt out for, and it would have to be approved by the board. Maybe it's not something other people are interested in. I'm less agitated about it than I was a couple months ago, but if it is something that people think it might be easier for us to do and look at what other jurisdictions that have zones, you know, at one point, you know, there are some city councils that are still at large, but still rotate the mayor. But there are, now that there are city councils and other things, agencies or government bodies that have zones, you may actually get more call for, gee, we want to be able to rotate the chair through the different zones. And I just thought we should have a discussion about it and maybe look at some templates out there and maybe decide not to do anything different, but it certainly would come to this committee first, I would think.
Yeah, so, and that was actually reminded me when I was reviewing the minutes, because it was referenced in there that we were directing staff to look at, to see what other jurisdictions do in this case, so that we can review and consider them as something that we could adopt, or at least for discussion. So I think that's a good topic. And even though it's not a problem, but I think it's something that we might as well be proactive about by encouraging that the board chair does rotate and that there be a systematic way so it doesn't become political.
Okay. So may I recommend the following? Since there are a couple of topics that I believe there is consensus, we want to have a more lengthy or in-depth discussion with the full board, should we try to include that recommendation at one of the board retreats, the same way that we're going to discuss the other policy that we pulled from the board meeting in March, related to the membership of public members in program committee?
Mm-hmm. I think that's a good idea, except I do think staff needs to do some background work to see what other jurisdictions do, mm-hmm. so that we're not trying to invent it, you know, a method on our own. Mm-hmm.
Provide different options that we could consider that would fit our district. I think that would be good.
But I agree, it could be done in a special, a offsite where we have more time to discuss it. Uh-huh. But it would be nice if you had like two or three different models that we could either choose one or hybrid it.
Sure.
And whatever.
And we can ask Jeff to help us with that. Mm-hmm.
And again, I do think it is more of an issue now that we're in zones, because people are going to say, well, how come I live in a zone where my zone director never got to be president or vice president? And maybe we separate the treasurer out and only have the president and vice president be rotated in a systematic way. But those are all the details we can discuss later.
Should we also talk about evaluation of the board itself, you know, to look at some kind of a template?
We have one.
Should we put that as a future agenda item to look at it and see whether we want to use that or modify it?
Aren't you going to schedule something with Martin Rausch again? And wouldn't that be a good topic or a good thing to do beforehand?
Asking.
Sure. Chris, can you remind us how the process was completed last time it was completed?
Yeah, so the ACHD has a board self-evaluation program that's conducted by it's an independent third party, but it's not like you go through and revise their questions and that. You use their standard format, and it gets sent out to each of the board members. We've done that through, I believe you did that through you, Andrea, the last time.
Yeah, it was just last year, I believe, in 2019.
Yeah, actually it was 2018, so it's been two years ago now. But it's a very standardized form. Those questionnaire goes out to each of the board members. And then they come back in and go to the independent third party to assemble the actual report. So nobody internally is handling any of it. It's all done outside so that there's no manipulation or adjustments.
But how did we discuss the report last time? Didn't we do it with a consultant?
I don't know that the outcome was really completely conducted very well. But I think it would, to me, what someone was suggesting is that the evaluation be done and then discussed at one of the workshops.
Mm-hmm. I think maybe that's what led to the workshop. I don't remember.
It's true. That's exactly what happened. We had the self-assessment. You know, Chris was at one of ACHD's conferences. What's his name? Martin. That's how we found him. He was presenting. He's part of ACHD, one of their consultants. They recommended, I believe, if I recall, the self-assessment, and then Martin took the self-assessment and moved that into the workshop, which obviously has been revised over and over.
Workshop, not the evaluation.
So, Letty and Conrado, were you guys thinking about having a board workshop on with Martin Rausch again?
I think it's important because what I have heard from board members individually, not when I've been asking, but just in conversation, is just the need to have better communication with our CEO. And I think that we need to see, to evaluate how we can do better to move in that direction. So yes, I think it's important for us to have a workshop. And but before then, can we internally, just as the three of us, look at the template that we used before so that we can actually ask the questions that we think will produce good starting points for discussion?
Matter of fact, I pulled it up by accident the other day, the actual assessment. I'm trying to pull it up now. And I think it was just the instructions that we have. I'm not sure that as staff, we even were privy to the entire questions.
No, we weren't.
May I suggest that Conrado and Letty and Chris talk about this and decide what to do and let us know?
Yes, that's a good idea because it's getting late and I need to get going to Palm Springs. I have to still comb my hair.
All right.
Okay, thank you. Is there any other topics for future meetings?
We have around about 13 more of the policies that need to be updated. So we'll bring those back to whenever we schedule the next meeting.
Okay.
And just real quick, Letty, before we go, I did find the form. I don't have the questions, but what it talks about is using the assessment to improve governance effectiveness, and then it has different bullet points. And then it talks about the different steps that are taken. So, I mean, I can certainly email this to you if you want to see it. And then there's a certain date. You know, it's like a template, a form that we provide.
Who would you like to FaceTime with?
Say who? What?
I think they're trying to get
not me.
What? Adjourn.
Okay. Very good. We're adjourning at 6:30.
Okay. All righty.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.